Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
John 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" I love that truth literally creates freedom in our lives. Verse 6 of chapter 14 says this, "Jesus said unto them, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me.'" Somebody just declare, the truth makes me free. The truth makes me free. I want to brag. I don't know if he's back in the room yet or not. You may be seated. I want to brag on Garrett. He's the young man right over here. That boy sang tonight. And I love his voice. He's got a good voice, but I love his joy. Man, he's always got a big smile on his face, and he loves Jesus. And I know a lot of his family, he was born in this church, raised in this church. A lot of his family, his mom and grandparents and auntie, they're watching tonight. And so to the Longs and the McLarens, God bless you. And we're so grateful. And I was talking to him this week about leadership. And I asked him, I said, "Why did you move back to San Antonio?" He's like, "Living Way is the reason I moved back to San Antonio." And he moved far away from his family. And he loves his family. They love him. But he moved back because he said, "I could not find a church like Living Way. So I just thought I can work remotely. I'm just going to move back to San Antonio, join Living Way, serve there." And so, Garrett, I am very proud of you. I'm proud of the young adults that God is raising up here at Living Way. One more time, somebody say, "The truth makes me free." For those that are movie buffs in the room, in 1992, a classic movie was released. And at the time, we didn't know how classic it was going to be, but it's titled A Few Good Men. And when it was released in theaters, it was met with critical acclaim. It starred Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson and also Demi Moore and others. But there's a famous line from that movie. Anybody know the line? Y'all watch movies. Praise God. "You can't handle the truth." And in that scene where Tom Cruise is putting the screws to Jack Nicholson's character, he's in contempt of court in that moment, but he is trying his best to draw out the truth from Jack Nicholson, who is not wanting to share the truth. And he says, "I want answers." And Jack Nicholson replies, and then Tom Cruise says, I'm entitled to answers." And then Jack Nicholson says, "You want the truth?" And he says, "Yes, I want the truth." And then Jack Nicholson says what you just declared, "You can't handle the truth." And that is the problem with culture today, church. They can't handle the truth. And when I say the truth, I'm talking about the truth, the John 14:6 truth, the truth that is Jesus Christ. And when you hit them with the truth, the word of God, they call us bigots. They say that we're intolerant, that we are filled with hate. They attack us physically, spiritually. They pigeonhole us. But later on in that very same scene, there is a less famous line. And Jack Nicholson says it. And I love this line. And everything that I hear or look as a preacher, I'm always measuring it. And it always speaks to me in sermon form. And this is the line that he says. Jack Nicholson, after he says, "You can't handle the truth," he says, "You have the luxury of not knowing what I know." And when I look at the world today, I just think, sometimes how great would it be to be as ignorant as you are? Not you, them. Because once you meet Jesus and you accept him as your Savior and Lord, church, we are now held to the standard of the Word of God. We cannot do what we want to do, say what we want to say, go where we want to go. We can't marry who we want to marry. We can't act out in flesh. We can't do what we want to do because now we are held to the standard of truth. And we love to talk about the freedom that truth brings, but we don't like to shout about the standard that truth holds us to. I knew it'd get quiet, but I didn't know it'd get this quiet on a Wednesday night. The truth that we love to talk, that Jesus is truth, and that truth is setting me free, and it gives me at least a modicum of freedom in my life, but it is also needs to be said, just as Jack Nicholson is describing in this scene, that now that I know the truth, there is a luxury that I don't have that everybody else has. And unlike a few good men, here is the problem with not knowing the truth. Ignorance is not an excuse. That when people stand before Jesus, which we all will stand before Jesus, you saying, I didn't know, or they saying, 8 billion people on the face of the earth right now, some of them are casual Christians, some of them are counterfeit Christians, some of them are Muslims, and some of them are steeped into dead and dry and false religion. They're going to say, I didn't know. But when they say, I didn't know, that won't be the loudest I didn't know in heaven, because there's an I don't know that is even scarier than that, and it is when Jesus says, I don't know you. You refuse the truth, and so now I can't say that I had a relationship with you. Jack Nicholson goes on to say, my existence, and I felt this one to my core, my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, it saves lives. So what I would say to the culture that maybe stumbles across this video live or archived, or to the person that labels me as intolerant, hateful, or bigoted, I would say that while my existence to you is grotesque and incomprehensible, I am here to save lives. I am here to preach the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I'm here to not only preach the truth, but we are here to live the truth. We're here to live the truth when everybody is patting us on the back and cheering us on, but we are also called to live and preach the truth when nobody understands it and they're giving us labels that do not match the God in us. But I am here to tell you, as a believer, I feel like sometimes their ignorance is a luxury, but that is why God said, it's not just about it happening in you, but I need you to testify. You are overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony. And that word of your testimony is the truth from the word of God. The hard truths of the Bible are not meant to condemn us, but to wake us up. Church, we gotta wake up. The truths of the word of God are used to humble us. Church, we need to be humbled, because when we decrease, praise God, it is when Jesus is allowed to increase in our life. When was the last time that you said, God, I don't want to be promoted in this season. I want to be demoted in this season so that you can be lifted up and draw men unto you. I don't have permission to share the full testimony, but I can tell you in this church this year that one of the people that was baptized, and I got excited, and I get excited over every baptism that happens, but I got really excited this year when one person went down in the water, because I knew their testimony. I knew that for the last 30 years they had been raised and had been living a Mormon lifestyle, but then they came to Living Way and they found out the full truth about Jesus. That it's not about Joseph Smith, and there is no other testament, and there is no other God except Jesus. And so when I get excited about those things, it is because not only has the truth been preached, but the truth has been received. And so we are called to these hard truths, not to condemn, but to wake us up, to humble us, and to transform us. Truth will always transform. That is why people run from the truth, because they don't want to go through the transformation process or the metamorpho, and that process of the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And although the butterfly is beautiful and although the end is amazing, how many of you know that the stretching of that body and that time of isolation in the dark cocoon isn't always great? And that caterpillar doesn't know that there's a butterfly at the end of that process. It just knows that I'm going through something and I'm changing. That is why fall in love with the Word of God, even when it makes your flesh hurt. Fall in love with the Word of God because you know it is making me more like Jesus, and it's making me what God has called me to be. The word truth has been drugged through the mud the past few years. There is an attack on truth. At best, we have diluted truth. At worst, we have polluted truth. But truth diluted or polluted, even just a little bit, makes it no longer truth. We have distorted, and I want you to write that word in your notes, distorted. We have distorted and destroyed the power of truth in our lives by saying and buying into a lot of phrases that have become way too synonymous with not just unbelievers, but with so-called believers. And we're going to talk about these distorted truths. And they're going to put them on the wall. And I made sure that I put distorted truth above the distorted truth, because I don't want you taking a picture of a distorted truth and say, this is what they're preaching down at Living Way. So it's going to say distorted truth. Number one, distorted truth says Jesus is a way to God, but not the only way. You have heard people that believe in Jesus. You have heard people that even say that Jesus is a way to heaven, but they stop short or they go out of their way to say that Jesus is one of many ways. But if you believe that distorted truth, you have to discount the Word of God. Not only do you have to discount the Word of God, you have to discount the red letters on the Word of God. When Jesus said in our theme text, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can get to the Father except through me. Jesus would later clarify this statement by saying, I am the door. There's not many doors. There's not many doors on the hallway of life. There is one door at the end of your life, and that door is Jesus. And he said, I am the only way. I wasn't great in English, but one English lesson I remember is articles. Articles are like a, and the. And when you trade out the for you are now robbing God of his power. Because Jesus is who he said he is, or he is the biggest liar and fraud on the face of the earth. But I've tried life without him, and I've tried life with him. And can I tell you, men have let me down, but Jesus has never let me down. People have come against me, but Jesus has always been for me. Other people said they'd never leave me, but they left at the first sign of a storm. But Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a God of his word, and he is the only way. I know this next statement will seem oxymoronic to you. Jesus is both inclusive and exclusive. The woke progressive Christian would like to tell you that Jesus is inclusive, but they never talk about his exclusivity. Jesus is inclusive in some moments of his life, but he is exclusive in other moments of his life. Here is how he is inclusive. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for every Christian in this room today that has said yes to him, but he has also died for every godless person who has extended a middle finger to heaven and said, there is no God and I don't need him if he is there. He died. He is inclusive. He died for everyone. And he will receive anyone who wants to come to him. But let's talk about his exclusivity. He is not just one of many options. He is the only way to the Father. We must become like Jesus. That's what being a Christian is all about. Let me remind you, we must become like Jesus. Jesus does not have to become like us. He already became sin once. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for all of us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin one time. He is not going to do it again in 2025. And so therefore, if you are going to live in truth and talk truth and walk in truth, you and I have to become like him. He's not going to become like us again. We are made in his image, but the world is trying to make God in their image. But can I encourage you today that you don't want Jesus to become like you? Because the problems you and I have in life and the discrepancies and the insufficiencies that we have in life is because of us. I don't need Jesus to become like me. I want to become like him. I want to become like him. Number two, distorted truth says all religions lead to the same God. All religions lead to the same God. I've already mentioned him once. We might as mention him a second time. Tom Cruise. He supports a religion that was started in the 1950s. If your religion started in the 19th century, I'm sorry, you are dead wrong. Because our religion didn't start, our religion has always been. And for those of you who say it's about a relationship and not about religion, it's about both, because the Word of God says there is a pure and undefiled religion. But that religion is not man-made and it's not man-ordained. It is Jesus himself. He himself sits on the throne today. It is a theocracy, not a democracy, not a monarch. Jesus himself. Not all religions are the same. To say all religions lead to the same God in the same place promotes something called pluralism. Pluralism means that two forms of authority can coexist. No, they cannot. You cannot have Buddha and Jesus sitting on the same throne. The throne is not big enough for two gods. The throne is not big enough for two different ways of looking things. The throne is not big enough for two roads to lead. There is one road, and that road is narrow, and few are that find it. But I am here to tell you, on a Wednesday night, with this crowd being a third of what it is on a Sunday morning, you and I are on the narrow road. We could have stayed home. We could have done something else. We could be doing something else with our lives. But look at us today. We are not saying all roads lead to God. We are saying there is one highway, and that is the highway that Jesus died to give us. There's not two forms of authority. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven. That was a good place right there to just say, okay, that's awesome. All authority in heaven. But then he says this too, and earth. See, I love talking about heaven, but I'm not in heaven yet. But I am on earth, and so are you. And I deal with the same things on earth that you deal with. It's an imperfect place. We are imperfect people. And so there is always going to be a struggle with our flesh wanting to do what our flesh wants to do. But Jesus came along at the end of his life. He said this. He said, all authority in heaven and in earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That is why you need to say yes to Jesus as quick as you can. Because you want the God with all authority on your side. But here's the even greater revelation. Acts chapter 2, he takes all of that authority, all of that power, and he sends it to the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament. And people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Yesterday, I met with a leader, and she's 17 years, and I'll just give her a shout out. I don't know if she's up in the TV room, but from what I know, she's the youngest assistant director or director that Living Way has ever had. She is 17 years old and a senior in high school, and she is an amazing young lady. And when I asked her at the end of our session, I said, you have anything that you would like to say, any questions, concerns? She said, Pastor, I'd like to tell you a little bit of my testimony. I came to this church 3 years ago, and she just told us all about how she had been coming to church, but nothing was ever real to her. But she said, last year at camp, I was at camp, and y'all were talking about the Holy Ghost. And she said, Mary, the one that operates the media, she said, she came by on that Wednesday night, and I received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. What are we talking about? We are talking about a believer who said, I tried everything else, but nothing else worked. There is only one God who came to me. There is only one authority, and he came to me and gave me that power, and he'll do it for you. If he'll do it for a 17-year-old girl, he will do it for anybody in this room. All roads do not lead to heaven. Here's a better way to say it. All roads but one lead straight to hell. That's truth that nobody wants. I'm sorry, Muslims, I love you, but you're on the highway to hell. And as good as AC/DC tries to make it sound, it is not going to be a party. It is not going to be fun. It is separation from Jesus for the rest of eternity. And when your body burns up, it is regenerated to burn yet again. The highway to hell is not somewhere you want to be. All roads do not lead to heaven. All but one leads to hell. And that's the truth that would say that we are intolerant. No. I love you enough to tell you not to play in traffic. I love my kids enough that if they were running into traffic, I might have to tackle them or very aggressively pull them to safety. But I am not going to let somebody go to hell on my watch without telling them, hey, God loves you so much. And the road that you think you're walking down and where you're headed, it's not going to get you there. There is no two authorities. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. I think Jaden quoted a portion of this during worship. Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has now become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's Jesus talking. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Number three, distorted truth says, oh, this is a good one. You probably had someone say this to you in your life. What is true for you may not be true for me. We talked about pluralism. Two authorities coexist in the same place, which can't happen. This would be described as relativism. That truth is subjective or it is individual. Maybe you've never heard anyone say what is true for you may not be true for me, but I guarantee you in 2025, you have heard someone say, I'm just speaking my truth. But the problem is we don't have truth outside of Christ. I can't speak my truth. I can only speak his truth. Now, I can tell you how his truth has transformed my life, but I can't tell you my truth. The only way I can tell you my truth is if my truth is his truth. So we're not talking about relativism, that truth is evolving. John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. The rest of that verse, your word, God's word, is truth. Anytime someone is saying my truth, they have taken their word and placed it above God's word. You remember what the word says? That God has exalted his word above his name. That scripture, you just heard me preach for 5 minutes like a madman on the power and authority of Jesus, his name. There is no other name. Jesus said, you think my name's good? There's 66 books of word that I myself have elevated above my name. So you're saying, well, all I need is the name of Jesus. Yeah, all you need is the name of Jesus to get to heaven, but you need the word to get heaven to come to earth so you don't live below what where God wants you to live, where the enemy wants you to live. So when the Bible says sanctify yourself with truth and God's word is truth, that means this: there is no cleaning our lives of what the world wants or what the world has put on us. And if you're like me, when you go out into the world, sometimes you come home and you might not need a physical shower, but you just feel dirty because of what they said, what they did, what they're talking about, what you saw. There's two physical cities that I've been to where I felt a thickness and a heaviness. And I'm not a super spiritual. I am balanced in the spirit and in the word. But I can get very super spiritual when the spirit starts moving. And the two cities where I felt just such darkness and dirtiness, New Orleans, Louisiana, San Francisco, California. I've been to San Francisco probably 5 or 6 times. Love the city, love the food. Every time I go to Alcatraz just to remind me not to cheat on my taxes. But there is a spirit in those cities. In Louisiana, it would be the voodoo spirit, the witchcraft, rebellious spirit. In San Francisco, it would be the lust and the physical, pornographic. And when I say pornographic, I'm talking about the actual Greek word, porneia, the lust, where you feel like, man, I need to go. And the Bible says in Ephesians that we can wash ourselves by the washing of the water by the word of God. Here, Jesus says you can sanctify yourself by the word. That is why the next time somebody tries to get you to skip out on church, or the next time the enemy tells you you did devotion on Monday, you don't need to do it on Tuesday, or what God told you on Sunday is good enough to last you through the week. No, it's not, because if you're like me, you're out in this world. You're in it, but not of it. But you better make sure that being around it, it doesn't get on the inside of you. And how does that happen? By sanctifying yourself with the word of truth. Biblical truth is absolute, church. It does not change. Biblical truth is absolute, and it's not based on your feelings. I'm not the touchy-feely kind of pastor. If you sit in my office in a counseling session and you start the session with, "Pastor, I just feel," I'm going to stop you. It doesn't matter how you feel. You know how many times I haven't felt like coming to church? How many times I haven't felt like serving God? How many times I haven't felt like giving my tithe? How many times I haven't felt like praying? You've got to understand, my life is ruled by truth, and truth is faith. Feelings fluctuate, and feelings will lie to you. One thing I've learned from Pastor Mandy, learned it very quickly, is when she would get her feelings hurt, or maybe not even her feelings hurt, maybe I was mean to her, said something to her in those first couple years of marriage, and I'd go in there and apologize, and then I'd tell her, "Don't feel that way." She very quickly told me, "Don't tell me how to feel." But here's an even deeper spiritual truth to that statement. When somebody tries to tell you how to feel, they're manipulating your faith. And the enemy loves to affect the way you feel. "Well, so-and-so offended me. So-and-so did this to me." Can I just remind you that Jesus went to a cross? People were cussing him and mocking him. He went through emotional crucifixion, physical crucifixion, spiritual crucifixion, and did all of that and still said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Faith causes us to forgive while flesh makes us feel. You can't make me feel something that my faith has already overridden. Biblical truth is absolute. It is not based on feelings or personal interpretation. I was telling this with a leader. I've met with four leaders in the last 8 days that are taking on more responsibility at the church, and it's such an exciting time to see these leaders stepping into these places. But I was talking with one of those leaders, and I said, I get so excited when I'm scrolling through social media, and I'm scrolling through Instagram, especially Instagram stories and Facebook, and you're seeing, man, there's there's small devotions and at people's jobs and in people's houses and just everywhere. And you see them happening at IHOP or out on the patio of a cafe, and you'll see five or six people huddled with the Bible. And I love that. And that is New Testament. The Bible says in Acts many times over, and they went from house to house, the small gatherings, and they learned and they grew and they matured in faith. But can I encourage you that you better know the truth before you sit down with a bunch of immature people with a Bible and a highlighter that have Googled their theology and now are going to try to tell you how to live. That's why I don't have Bible studies with everybody. That's why I want to have Bible studies with people that are going to teach me and train me, that are more educated in the things of God, have more experience in the things of God. I'm not going to sit down and let somebody who's been saved for 2 days start breaking down what Romans 8 really means. And I'm not demeaning them. I'm just saying there is a time and a place. But I'm not going to let your feelings about how you personally interpreted one out of text scripture changed my belief on what God has started and is building in me. I knew that one was going to get quiet. That's all right. Number four, let's do one more. Distorted truth says love is more important than truth. That is where we are as a society. People want to make you love them, and by love them, they think that love is acceptance. I don't have to accept you to love you. I don't have to accept your lifestyle and your weaknesses and your vices to love you. I love you. But love and truth cannot be separated. To think that love and truth can be separated, this is a false dichotomy that separates two things that must go together and cannot be separated. I'm going to tell one on me. When I was a very young man, I was sitting in Bishop's office, and at that moment, it was not pastor and church member. It was dad and son. And I remember dad was talking about truth and how important it is to have truth and how important it is to tell the truth and live in truth and walk in truth. And I remember I didn't ask a question. I made a statement. And I remember my dad, not in an aggressive way, but I remember him rebuking me when I said, I know that truth is important. But I said, in some cases, perception is just as important as truth. And he said, absolutely not. Your perception never trumps truth. What you think about the situation, it never overrides the truth that is in the Word of God. And so just because someone has a lifestyle or they're making decisions based on what or who they think they love, and you come to them with truth and they say, no, my love is more important than truth. They're trying to separate two things. And you cannot separate real love and real truth. I'll prove it in the Bible, 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. John 14:6, our theme scripture. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth. These two separate portions of scripture, we see these declarations in the New Testament that God is love and that God is truth. He is both. Not at separate times. He's both at the same time. Say, Pastor, I'm not wrapping my brain around that. Here's the thing. Right now, even though she's 200 yards away, I am Mandy's husband. But right now, I am Tyler's father. Right now, I am David's friend. I don't have to quit being his father to be his friend. Come on now. I don't have to quit being his father to be a husband to my wife. And so when people try to separate the love issue from truth issue, you cannot separate God. He cannot quit being truth to be love. And that's what the world wants you to think. God loves. God is love. And so they say, love is love and God is love. And you love who you, all of the mistruth, because they've separated truth from love. But I've come to remind you that God of love, God of truth is the same God, and he cannot be absent in one to be present in the other. God is love and God is truth. Here's where we can even share just a little bit more. Give me 2 more minutes because this is just rolling over in my spirit. Tyler didn't believe this 15 years ago, that when I used to spank him, because at our house, we didn't do a lot of timeouts. We didn't do a lot of counting to three. We say, get to your room and I'll be in there for a minute. And then I was just petty enough as a dad, I wouldn't go in there for 30 minutes. Just let him think about it. But I had that conversation with Tyler that no child believed.